following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's FPC Radio Live on a Thursday. That's right. Second day of the week we're on a little bit late, but hey, you know, it's the summer. It's the summer of doing whatever we want, so that's what we're going to do here. But no, we're happy to be here. We're going to talk about some NFL stuff as we're gearing up. We're gearing up, folks, for the last weekend of the NFL preseason. And yeah, I know folks are excited because, hey, we just want to see football that matters, football that counts. And folks behind me, you can see on the screen that I have two cats fighting. I assure you, it's not as vicious as it looks. So, but without further ado, though, I got to bring in my co-host here. I got to get his name up on the screen so you actually believe that he's here because you cannot see him on camera. He is Mr. John Sapicetti. John, how's it going, my friend?
Good morning, Ian. Are the two cats' names Cam and Mac?
No. It's certainly not. It's actually Bonnie and Desert. Very not as confronting. But I like that because that's a great segue because, you know, hey, we didn't get a chance to talk Mac and Cam yesterday, but we'll do that a little bit today because, it's been a big story all summer.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean, it looked like it was going neck and neck. And again, if you follow all the great reporters that are covering the Patriots, and there seems to be about 2-3 dozen that are there every single day chronicling it. You know, one day Cam was better than Mac, the next day Mac was better than Cam, the next day they both weren't that good, then the next day they were both good. I think it's still going to be Cam Newton, but what's gone on in the last week, or less than a week, with his COVID issues, I think is maybe going to tilt this in the direction of Mac Jones sooner rather than later. You can't have a starting NFL quarterback who, you know, is kind of lax about this, right? I mean, he got COVID last year, and that was the excuse that he didn't play well, that he got COVID and it had this impact on him. And I'll go ahead and believe that because I never got COVID, but I know people that have and said that it really does impact you. He still hasn't been vaccinated. And, you know, he kind of broke through protocol here and misses 5 days of practice. And Mac Jones has looked unbelievable during that period of time. You can't have a starting quarterback that you can't rely on. And on a given day, say Thursday going into the Tampa game, week 4, all of a sudden Mac Jones, Cam Newton, because of close contacts, has to sit out. Now you've got to get your other quarterback ready. So that could tilt things in the direction of Mac Jones.
Yeah, you know, I never felt that it was so much a competition as others want it to be. And that's not really saying anything about, I don't think Mac Jones is ready or whatever. I just think this was, you know, this was Cam Newton's job. And I still think it is his job. And I think it's not so much, I just think Belichick's a smart person. You know what I mean? He's been doing this for a long time, and he's not going to rush a kid that's not ready. And again, I'm not saying that he's not ready, but they know a lot more about him, you know, having watched him in practice and all that stuff than we do just watching preseason and some, training camp highlights. He's not going to push Mac Jones in too early if he doesn't have to. And by that, I mean, look, I think he went into this season with the plan, well, you know, assuming Cam Newton didn't, you know, completely lose every aspect of quarterbacking in his, you know, blood over the offseason, he was going to be the starter. And I think to this point, he's shown he's fully capable of doing that. Like, you know, let's not let the last couple days kind of distract us from the fact that, yeah, he's had a really good camp. I mean, like you said, there's been mixed reports on both quarterbacks, and that's just how things are going to go. It's training camp, it's the summer. But we have seen good things on Cam, and I don't think even this situation is enough to really sway any sort of competition. Because, again, I think it's more about let Mac sit. Let him learn. There's no reason to rush him in there. There's no harm in letting him learn the game, learn the NFL before he gets in there and takes a snap. Because I think there is a lot of value to that. And there's a huge risk inherent with throwing a young quarterback into the mix, certainly in a high-pressure situation like in New England, and risking him failing, because that's something that you can lose. If he goes in and he's not quite ready, and there's a stretch where, well, maybe he just doesn't get that confidence, that could affect him his entire career. That could change the trajectory of his career. So, to me, there's far more risk in putting him in too early when you don't need to. You really don't need to.
The theory is it's easier to go from Cam to Mac than Mac to Cam, right? If you name Mac Jones your starter, you may lose Cam Newton anyway. He may not be ready, willing, and able to be a backup. I mean, this is a guy who's been a star throughout his entire career, won a Heisman Trophy, a national championship.
How about this, though? Think of it this way.
That's a difficult one to pull off.
If you go with Mac and eventually have to go away from Mac, how's that going to work? And forget about Cam Newton for a minute. You know what I mean? Just how do you start Mac Jones? Again, assume, you know, let's make the assumption that maybe he falters and, you know, he wasn't quite ready yet. You know,
that's a possibility. It's just you hope that the quarterbacks are able to deal with this type of stuff. And it's kind of a test of the quarterbacks, right? Like, you know, if there's look, every quarterback in the history of football has had some sort of negative things happen to them. They throw interceptions. They throw pick sixes. They've been sacked. They've been yelled at by coaches. It's how they react to that that obviously makes them who they are. You know, if they can deal with that type of criticism. I think of the five rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round, that Mac Jones and Trey Lance are coming in to the best situations because they're going to the best teams. We see Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. I just hope and pray he doesn't get killed this year.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, who I'm high on, I think the way he throws the football is exquisite, but he's going to the New York Jets where, you know, their left tackle is 40 pounds overweight and they don't really have a great roster there. And then you look at Justin Fields, who I think could turn out to be the best of the five quarterbacks. His offensive line is putrid. Mac Jones is going to a situation where he's got a really good offensive line, outstanding running backs, excellent tight ends, okay wide receivers, an outstanding defense, and oh, by the way, he's got Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, grooming him. So he's going to a really good situation. And Trey Lance is going to San Francisco, where I think he's going to sit. And again, he's more raw than Mac Jones because he didn't even play last year. He played one game because of COVID. So I think Mac's going to a really good situation. In the long run, it may work out to his benefit that, you know, he came here, sat for a little while, and then was able to step in. That's what you look at. And also these quarterbacks that they come into the NFL, they are better prepared than they were, say, 15, 20 years ago because, you know, they're playing 7-on-7 from the get-go. They've got personal coaches. They're playing in sophisticated offenses in college. In fact, a lot of the NFL, or all of the NFL teams, use a lot of the concepts that we see in college. So they should be up to speed quickly. Look at Joe Burrows, I thought was outstanding last year, and Justin Herbert even better.
The one thing with that, though, and this is something that I've cautioned about, and I agree with you. I mean, it's just the way the college game is now versus what it was 20 years ago when the games weren't really the same in the sense of offense. So, there was always that, you know, adjustment period. There was always, you know, that you needed to learn a bit. The one problem, the one catch with all this is sometimes it gives teams a false sense of, I don't know if you want to call it security, but false sense of ability, maybe. Because what you're seeing is, a lot of young quarterbacks come in and have a lot of success early. Sometimes, like, their mistakes are kind of just passed off as being young, so they're not looked at as too big of mistakes, but because the positives outweigh the negatives. But NFL teams are a lot smarter than college teams. They're going to catch up eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think teams are having trouble with. Like, you can go out and say, Justin Herbert could go out and have, a great rookie season and never touch 30 touchdowns again his entire career.
Right.
You know, maybe his first season was inflated. Patrick Mahomes, his first season as a starter, no one knew what to expect. So, of course, defenses were playing behind. Well, I think there's a good enough evidence out there to suggest that, you know, maybe they haven't necessarily caught up to him, but they've been able to neutralize it because guess what? People know how to defend that now. So that early on success isn't always guaranteed to extend beyond maybe those first couple of years because eventually that young quarterback has to figure out the NFL before the NFL figures out him. And I think giving, you know, guys like Mac Jones a little bit of time to learn about the NFL first and learn about the league more so than just what they know from college, I think is greatly beneficial if you have the right guy. I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't have the right, you know, the guy with the right head, you know, it's not going to matter. But I think there's far less risk and far more reward in just letting the kid sit, you know, let him learn. You know, there's no rush to get him in there.
And it could be 4 weeks, it could be 8 weeks, it could be the full season. Yeah. You see what happens with Cam Newton if he's the day one starter against the Miami Dolphins and the Patriots get off to a good start, which I think they can. That first game to me is very important because they're hosting the Miami Dolphins. You know, the understanding is that, although I don't necessarily agree with it, Buffalo's going to win the division and the Patriots and Miami are going to fight for second place. Well, first game of the season, you're hosting Miami. That's a big divisional game. Then you've got the Jets and New Orleans, teams you should beat. New Orleans doesn't even have a tight end at this point due to injuries, and you think Jameis Winston's going to be in there, who I think could have a really good year with the Saints. But you should be 3-0, at worst 2-1, and then you're, of course, welcoming in Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is a tough task. And then after that, your schedule's pretty soft, although sometimes it's dangerous looking at schedules and saying it's pretty soft because you don't know what teams are going to be, you know,
in mid-season. I don't know what the Patriots are going to be.
We don't know what the Patriots are going to be. Absolutely. I still have a few question marks about that team. I don't think it's just necessarily this incredible team that's a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. Yeah, maybe Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes away from being a Super Bowl contender. But other quarterbacks, whether it be Cam Newton or Mac Jones, I still have some question marks about that wide receiving group. Jacoby Myers has been your best wide receiver in camp, and that speaks highly for Jacoby Myers, but it also kind of is a knock against Aguilar and the other wide receivers because they haven't really stepped up. And I'm still worried about that secondary. I want to see Stephon Gilmore back on the field. If that's the case, then I think that secondary will be fine and that defense will be fine. So, yeah, there's question marks on every team in the league, probably other than Tampa Bay, which has all 22 starters back from a Super Bowl winning team. So I think that's what you have to kind of look at, and you play it. And then we saw what Belichick did in 2001. He handled that beautifully. Most people said, well, just go back to Bledsoe. He's your starter. He said, no, Tom Brady's earned the right to remain the starter, and the rest is history.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. It's like, what if he decided to go back to Bledsoe? You might ruin Tom Brady. No, look, what we know about Tom Brady, he probably goes on and wins 20 Super Bowls if that happens.
Yeah, he'd probably be really pissed off at that point. Yeah, he goes scorched earth and maybe wins them somewhere else. Yeah, I'm not playing for
exactly. So I'm not going to assume.
Right, yeah.
You know, well, see, my example,
I think I'm not saying Mac Jones is Tom Brady. I'm not saying that. I just don't want to go into that. But I think he has some really good qualities.
Oh, sure.
His mechanics are supreme. I mean, if you just look at him throwing the football, his mechanics are superb. I mean, he's so accurate, and that's so important at the quarterback position. Is he athletic? No, he doesn't have to be. Now he's wearing a knee brace, which slows him down even more. But as far as his pocket presence, his ability to move in the pocket, how quickly he gets rid of the ball,
that's the most decisions important he makes,
all of that stuff, he's off the charts, man. And the teammates love him. They're already talking about this guy's already showing leadership qualities. I mean, he looks 18, if that, right? I mean, he looks younger than he is. And he's got kind of an aw shucks type of, you know, approach. But I think on the football field, he's a killer out there. Brady the same way. I mean, if you just looked at Tom Brady, you go, what a handsome guy. Who would think that he's going to be on the football field a maniac? And he is. You know, it's almost like, you know, Clark Kent and Superman.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. It's like, you know, those qualities I personally think are the most important when it comes to, okay, accuracy and mechanics. Because you can't necessarily teach those things. You can improve them. If you're mechanically inclined, you're going to be able to work on mechanics. If you don't understand what mechanics are, the likelihood that you're going to figure it out in your 20s, you know, when it comes to football life lifespan later in your life, it's tougher to do. Like, I mean, look at Tim Tebow. Look at, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, trying to change throwing patterns. And there's things that you can obviously tweak and adjust and improve on. But you have to be naturally gifted when it comes to things like that. And that's where, again, where people, I think, get drunk when it comes to talking about quarterbacks is, you know, when they're going to place value on certain aspects of the game, they're all over the place. They're putting far too much value on off-balance throws and running around when, in my eyes, I look at that, I'm like, man, that is some bad quarterback play. Like, I'm not impressed by throwing off your back foot. I'm not impressed by these, like, shortstop-style throws because, you know what? That's poor quarterbacking, in my opinion. Yeah, okay, if you can complete them and they end up going for positive yards, then, you know, go ahead, celebrate them, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you're not going to do that every single game. You know, you're not going to do that every single week and every single year. It's just eventually not going to happen. And, you know, eventually your athleticism is going to wane, and you're not going to be able to have that extra step ahead of defenders. So to me, I always value, when I look at quarterbacks, the ability in the pocket, the ability to throw accurately. And again, folks, this isn't completion percentage. This is accuracy, mm-hmm. actual accuracy. And, you know, from there, decision-making. You know, if he's a good decision-maker, and I'm not talking about Mac Jones specifically, but the quarterback, you know, that may not be athletic, but knows how to throw the ball, knows how to be in position, knows where his feet's supposed to be every single time. Like, that to me is so much more important than running around and scrambling. Because, again, at the end of the day, if you're running around and scrambling, it means that you're deficient within the pocket, and that's something that, you know, that can be a problem down the road. Look at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens Sunday when they play the Giants in the final preseason game, who gets the snaps. I mean, there's different theories on what's going to happen in week three, because it's different than any other year where they always had four preseason games, and the third one was the dress rehearsal, and the fourth one was just don't get anybody hurt. You know, sit your starters, and now you tweak your roster. So they're going to probably be different approaches by different teams on this, that this might be the dress rehearsal, or this may be the week where, you know, you see your star quarterback on the sideline in a golf shirt, not in a football shirt. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets more snaps. We know from everybody that was there yesterday that Mac Jones was spectacular. See, 24-28. He had a stretch of 10 or 11 consecutive completions against the Giants' number one defense. And the Giants' number one defense is probably middle of the pack. And again, it's you know, these are scripted. It's a different setup than it's going to be when we get to September and they're playing the Miami Dolphins at Gillette Stadium. So it is a different thing. But it's encouraging to see that he's there. My issue with Cam is you have to be more reliable than he's been, in the sense of what happened this week, right? Because this is a big week. This is the week you really get your team together and you start to pare the roster down, and he's nowhere to be found because there was some sort of mix-up with a COVID test. That your quarterback has to be better than that, because, you know, if your left tackle is out, probably a bad example saying left tackle, if your left guard is out, you can kind of coach it up a little bit or whatever the case may be. Your quarterback, that changes everything. And now you've got to get your backup ready. And in the case of the Patriots, that may be a good thing, because it means Mac Jones is playing. But that's something you need to have your quarterbacks bigger than that, and better leaders than that, than just, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of not being available. That's a big part of it.
I mean, it all depends on, you know, was the Patriots statement a, you know, we're doing this to, you know, save Newton right. publicly, and they've had a different discussion behind the scenes. I don't know, but if they actually, you know, felt that it was a misunderstanding, then again, I don't think that this weighs too heavily on them. Although, again, you know, I can't imagine that this is the first time his vaccination status has come up with the team. So this isn't something mm-hmm. where the team's surprised by it. So to me, I do think that their statement was fairly genuine. Maybe there was just a misunderstanding of how the rules, you know, were stated. We've, you know, it happens from time to time, John. Did you know that?
We've said for 20 years that the Patriots are the best organization in football, and that they dot their I's, cross their T's, and these types of things don't happen. Well, now, all of a sudden, you think they had some sort of issue where they didn't communicate? From everybody, I watched Eric Mangini earlier in the week talk about, in that organization, it's to the point of that the players just roll their eyes because they're instructed what to do so much. It is kind of a military operation, and now we're going to just... I don't know. I wish Bill Belichick complimented Tom Brady as much as he does Cam Newton. Well, that's the thing that just blows my mind. Like, the guy, you know, I mean... another year of last year, and we're going to just say, well, Tom Brady made Bill Belichick, right? Like, Michael Jordan made Phil Jackson. So that's all well and good. So give the guy some compliments rather than, you know, snarl and, you know, don't even acknowledge his existence. I mean, and Cam Newton gets all sorts of praise from Bill Belichick, his leadership and all that.
Well, I mean,
and it's like, okay.
Know, again, I think there's been a lot of praise. I mean, this idea that all Belichick ever did was put Brady down, I think is ballooned up to the point now where it's become, you know, a little bit hyperbole. I think there's a lot to commend Cam about. And in this situation, like, look, I disagree with his choice to not get vaccinated. We know that because, again, unvaccinated players are the ones that would have to go through this 5-day protocol. So, that, you know, we're not making assumptions. We're not assuming his status. We're just, you know, putting two and two together. excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit. And that's certainly an issue because, like you said, I mean, down the road, this isn't terrible because it happened now, but what happens if this was a Tuesday during week 4?
Right.
Yeah. That's the issue, and I think, you know, maybe that's something that causes the Patriots to, you know, think twice. But, you know, to get back to the rules thing and how, you know, people are like, well, we expect the well, the reality of it was, I mean, technically, the Patriots knew that, you know, going back to quote unquote Spygate, they knew that rule better than the NFL because. I mean, what Belichick said, you can sit there and scoff and roll your eyes, but the reality of it was the explicity of the, I think that's a word, of the rule itself wasn't quite that explicit and was open to interpretation. Now, you know, a team that, like you said, is very on top of everything, they're going to know. They're going to be able to exploit that, and I think that's what happened with the Patriots. So it wasn't, I don't think, a situation where they necessarily didn't know the rules. I think they just knew the rules better than the NFL. It was just maybe a little too much better than the NFL. And I think in this situation, maybe they genuinely felt that, you know, whatever this specific situation. Now, again, we're just putting pieces together from what we've learned over the course of the last couple of days. But, you know, maybe the information that they had, they made a judgment call saying, oh, yeah, no, this should be fine. So in which case, I don't think this impacts Cam at all. Because, you know, like, based on everything, he's not flaunting the rules, like, a pair of Buffalo Bills are. So to his credit, despite his choice to be unvaccinated, you know, he's at least following the protocols. We see him all the time with a mask on the sidelines. He's about the only one.
Right.
So, you know, all those factors makes me believe that, yeah, I don't think the Patriots are too like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because one, they, like I said, they obviously knew that he was unvaccinated. So this has been a point since the beginning of training camp. And you know, that hasn't changed how they've handled Newton and, you know, the anticipation that he's going to be the
starter.
But
we're coming up on the season. But
no,
we're coming up on the regular season.
That's true.
If he's your number one guy, that's going to be a concern that Wednesday or Thursday, all of a sudden he's out till the following week and you got to get Mac Jones ready for whoever the opponent is. And I think that they could – it might be better off with that. That's just, you know, me being cynical, thinking that Mac Jones is a better option than Cam Newton or just what I believe. So I think they would be fine either way. It's not a situation. Look, if it was Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, or Tom Brady, then you're screwed, right? Because you're going to what? Jordan Love, Matt Moore, and who the hell is the backup in Tampa at this point? So it's like,
based on what I've seen, John, I think the Chiefs would be all right. I think they'd be just fine.
Ooh, that's a mark against Mahomes. No, out of the three, I'll be honest with you. Out of the three, those three, you know, exalted quarterbacks we talk about, Kansas City would be more likely to survive a week or two without Mahomes, more so than Green Bay and Tampa.
Oh, for sure. I know
because of the experience, and also again, Jordan Love doesn't appear ready, and I don't even know who Tampa's backup is. I honestly don't know. Right. I mean, he's a bit, you know, he may be a player in 3 or 4 years. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, without Brady and Rodgers, the two Bays aren't what they appear to be. Whereas Kansas City could coach it up. And you know, we saw Matt Moore, I think, the year before. Didn't he play again, beat the Minnesota Vikings in a pretty entertaining game? He played really well again.
He played against the Browns. And, you know, look, I kind of, you know, take any opportunity I can to not. But, you know, the reality of it is, you know, you'll sit there and say, well, I think those teams were going to be worse off. Well, I'm like, you know, I agree with you. Whatever quarterback you downgrade from Brady to whoever, yeah, they're going to be worse off. But I don't know with 100% certainty, like, how much worse Kansas City is going to be. Because, look, for 20 years we've heard, oh, well, or whatever it's been, 15 years, we've heard, oh, well, the Patriots went 11-5 with Matt Castle, completely ignoring right. every other aspect of everything. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, well, guess what? Kansas City's won a lot of games before, during, and, you know, during Mahomes' run when he's not been on the field. So I'm just
it might be a similar slip. Like, instead of 14-2, they could go 9-7, 10-6 with their backup. I know there's 17 games this season, but you get my point. So yeah, I mean, it's, whereas I think especially in Green Bay, because we've seen it, Rodgers has missed 20 games since he became the starter, and they're 5-14-1 in those 20 games. So we see that the backup comes in, and they're not very good. It kind of proves that Mike McCarthy isn't exactly the best coach, because once Rodgers got hurt, they couldn't do anything, and we're seeing McCarthy on Hard Knocks looking like I don't know, like a cop from Milwaukee or a cop from Brooklyn who just seems to be in over his head.
Oh, you're getting your little Skip Bayless in right now.
Oh, absolutely. Don't you? Well, we all do this, Ian, don't you know? We all do that. Of course. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl in spite of Mike McCarthy. Imagine if Rodgers had good coaching over the years.
Oh, maybe he would have actually played better in those NFC Championship games.
Nope, that's on him. That's on him. Nope, I'm with you on that.
And with that, we will leave it right there, because it is 10 o'clock, and I like ending on a high note. Thursday, Friday? I can't guarantee tomorrow, and, I will be gone over the weekend, so we might not be until Wednesday that we get on the air, but if that's the case, folks, we'll be really jumping into the NFL, previewing the NFL, because we're just about a week and a half away from kickoff, and in that case, almost a week from the first game of the season. So, John, thank you very much for joining us. Give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31, and of course, you can find him at JohnSapp25. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.